God bless you, brother. All right, let's greet you again in the name of the Lord. If you're nervous, you can greet people 5 times. You know? But be prayerful for us. So happy to be here. We love this church. We love your pastor. If you feel like you no longer have interest in him, you can send him to us. We'll be happy to have him. We certainly enjoy his... So if you want him to retire or something like that, we were happy to have him. But we certainly love this church and Brother Bob and the different ministers. Last time I visited the church in North Carolina. No, not the last time. The other time, Brother Bob was ministering and we had a wonderful time in the Lord. And I thought this church is disproportionately blessed in the ministry. Amen. So if we could stand and open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 42. Matthew chapter 21, verse 32. We try not to keep you too long. We believe in the message of the hour.
Amen.
So we try to keep it within an hour. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, the Bible says, if you have it, you can say amen.
Amen.
Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
Amen.
Therefore, say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. This is when the kingdom was being taken from the Jews and being given to the Gentiles. Now the kingdom is now moving from the Gentiles and going back to the Jews. So but the inspiration is this verse 42, which says, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is the head of the corner. And here is where we draw our thought. This is the Lord's doing.
Amen.
And it is marvelous in our eyes.
Amen.
We may have our seats. For a little time tonight, we want to talk about it was the Lord's doing.
Amen.
And for a subtitle, we want to talk about the last sign.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus Christ here, our Lord, was obviously preaching to the Pharisees. Because they would ask him questions. And there's nothing wrong with asking God a genuine question.
Amen.
But God looks at your motive behind the question. And here, you know, he was talking to the Pharisees, to the clergy of that day. And he says, didn't you read that the stone which the builders rejected? And obviously this scripture is talking about the builders in our context are the ministers. Because the ministers are the builders.
Amen.
Amen. And the prophet preached a message that day on Calvary, right? Oh, I mean, the indictment. He says, they, the clergy, crucify.
That's right.
No, he says, they at the most holy place.
Amen.
They, the clergy, crucify by blaspheming him, the word.
Amen.
Amen. Because the clergy or the ministers, we are the builders.
Amen.
And the prophet will say, we are not building a wall, we are building a building.
Amen.
And because we are building a building, there are windows, there are doors, there are spots that look weak, but that's okay. God wants his building to be like that. And if you want your building to pass inspection, it has to have all these different aspects. You have to have air vents, you gotta have windows, you can't have only all the strong parts. You can't just make it all by brick. Amen. So you have to build it according to the blueprint.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So here our Lord was telling these people that this was the Lord's doing. And it really struck my heart that whatever was happening, it was not the devil doing it.
Amen.
No, it was God who was actually doing that. It was God who chose things to come a certain way. It was God who elected before the foundation of the world how his gospel was going to come and who was going to present it. Because everything was made by the word. And outside of the word was not anything made which was made. So everything was made by the word for him, amen. That's what the Bible says in Colossians. Right. Everything was made by him and for him. Yes. Right. So really, that's why we have received this kingdom.
Yes.
And the word kingdom means kingship and domain.
Yes. Right.
It's just a compound word, kingdom and yes. domain.
Yes.
Right. Now, kingdom is different from a democracy. In a democracy, people may decide, we want this,
yeah.
we want that, and that's okay. But in a kingdom, the king
yeah.
brings the rules.
Yeah.
The king is the one who says, this is what I want.
Right.
And usually, it's not negotiable.
Right.
But in a democracy, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can say, well, I choose to be a cat, or I choose to be this, because that's your choice.
Yeah.
But in a kingdom, you don't do that.
Oh, that's right.
They are kingdom principles.
Amen.
Praise be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So now the Lord Jesus Christ is that stone.
Yes.
And he's the stone that the builders yes. rejected. In the message dedication, the prophet says it was an old looking stone.
Yes. Right.
And the builder, they sort of like thought, you know what, let's just put it aside. You know, let's just put it aside. Because it was not a usual stone.
Right.
It wasn't something so appealing.
Right.
It was something that was a little bit unusual.
Yes.
And that stone is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the Word.
Amen.
When we say the Word, we're not just talking about a quote or a scripture.
Amen.
The Word is the full Word.
Amen.
Because the Word is a person.
Amen.
Now, this is my hand, but for me to be a person, I have to have my entire being.
Uh-huh.
So when we say the Word, we mean the fullness of the Word.
Amen.
So when we say receive the word, it's not just a scripture.
No.
You can have a scripture but not have the word.
Amen. Right.
Because the devil can't quote the scripture.
Amen. Right.
Because he quoted it to Jesus.
Yes. Right.
Amen. He had the scripture,
right.
but he did not have the word.
No. Right.
But the word was Christ,
Amen.
Who was the person of the word.
Right. Amen.
Right. Amen. So when we talk about the word, we are talking about having the fullness of what God wants in our time.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So sometimes when you hear ministers saying the word, you're wondering, what does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like the Quran? No, it's not like, you know, like the ethical books or other religions.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The word,
right.
the Logos, John 1, verse 1.
Yeah.
In the beginning was the Word,
Amen.
And the Word was with God,
yes.
and the Word was God, and that Word became flesh.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Now, Romans chapter 9, verse 32, Paul, talking about the Jews, you know, Romans 10, you know, Paul talks about the Jews, how, you know, the story of, because he was burdened over the Jews. Just like our prophet was burdened for the Gentile church. Because
yes.
every two prophet, every two servant will have a burden. Because that's how God works. God works with a burden.
Amen.
He does not work with an obsession.
No. Right.
He works with a burden.
Good, right?
There's a difference between an obsession and a burden.
Amen.
Because a burden is governed. It has love. It has got, you know, it's not, you know, harassment.
Yeah.
No. It's a
right.
burden.
Right.
Praise
right.
the Lord.
Right.
And that's how you differentiate love and lust.
Right.
Because lust is something that is unsatiable. It's
yeah.
it's harassing. It's
yeah.
something that is but a burden it's governed.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, Romans says, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone.
Yeah, right.
As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense,
right.
and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Right.
So he's talking about the Jews,
right.
that they stumbled at yeah. the stumbling
yeah.
stone.
Right.
So because God is the one who said, I lay a stone in Zion.
Right, amen.
Because remember in Matthew, we say, the Bible says that it was the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in our eyes. In other words, it is beautiful to see. It was God who did it. Hallelujah. It was by design that God made things that way. And here, Paul is saying the Jews, they stumbled at the stumbling stone because God said, I'm going to lay the stone in Zion.
Amen.
That's why John says, blessed is he. When Jesus Christ heard that John was taken and was killed, he says, blessed is he who is not offended in me.
Right. Amen.
Because you know what? God laid the stumbling block. And the stumbling blocks was not to stumble his children. It was not to stumble those who genuinely want to know more about God. But it is to stumble those who think they are wise. Those who think they are prudent. Those who think they are knowledgeable. And God deliberately hid it from the eyes of the wise. But he gave it unto babies such as would learn. Which is you and me tonight. Praise the Lord. This is why you find that God picked a hillbilly from the hills of Kentucky. A man who did not have, you know, more than grade 7 in education. It was not by coincidence. It was not by his own desire. But it was the Lord's doing. Others might criticize, but it is marvelous in our eyes. Glory be to God. Amen. Some people may think that God was a poor engineer to bring the children of Israel through the Red Sea. There was a mountain on this side. There was a mountain on that side. There was an Egyptian army following behind them. But it was the Lord's doing, and it's beautiful in our eyes. If I was to choose, I would not choose Jonah, probably, being as a human being. I say, oh, you know, Jonah is a man who has got tantrums. Let's find someone who is more stable and more reliable. Someone who's more zealous. Yeah. That's human mind. Yeah. But you know what? God, our thoughts are not as his thoughts. God's thoughts is not as our thoughts. God chose a man who was running away from that commission. And when God did not destroy Nineveh, Jonah was angry. He was sitting there angry. And God sent a goat and he sent an insect and it destroyed that. And he was angry because he wanted to see those people destroyed. And as a human being, you say, why would God choose a man like that? You know what? That was the Lord's doing. Amen. And it is beautiful in our eyes. Amen. It was the Lord's doing. Amen. I think about myself. Why would God choose me? Yeah. I mean, there are many better people out there. I am the least of the least. And I'm the worst of the worst. I don't deserve any grace. I don't deserve to know this message of the hour. I don't deserve to know the mysteries of this Bible. I don't deserve to be part of the bride. Why did God choose me? There was nothing in me that could be desired. But it was the Lord's doing. It was the Lord's doing. And it is beautiful before our eyes. Hallelujah. And why did God give you, Brother Wade, as a pastor? Someone might think, oh, can't we find someone better? You know what? It was the Lord's doing. And it is beautiful in our eyes. Hallelujah. That's why God gave you the wife that you have. It's not a mistake. It was by God's design. And the prophet says one of the reasons why Moses was the meekest man upon the earth, it was because of Zipporah. Because Zipporah kept him in line. He would be out there as a prophet. People fear him. Thus says the Lord, let there be fleas, and there'll be fleas. But back home, it was very soft. Yeah. Good evening, honey. Yep. How was your day? And the Bible says Moses was the meekest man upon the earth. So you never know how the ways that God can use to keep you in check. Because if you had everything your way, maybe you would not be here. But God put roadblocks and, you know, and speed bumps along the way. Something to slow you down. Your parents slows you down. Your teenage children, they slow you down. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Someone said you're not a parent until you have teenagers. So I can declare today I'm not yet a parent. I have two girls, but I'm not yet a parent. Because they're not yet teenagers. Amen. But we love our teenagers. Now, Luke chapter 11, verse 29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and they shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites. Now, Jonah himself was a sign to the Ninevites. Jonah did not have a sign, he was the sign. So a prophet is a sign.
Amen.
Amen. So a prophet, when you see a prophet, you are seeing a sign.
Amen.
Right? We're expecting a hurricane. You know what? The people, they see, they look at the satellite maps and they see the winds, and they say, you know what? There's a hurricane coming. Because they see the signs, they see all those things. But we as believers, when a prophet steps upon the scene, he himself, before he says anything, a prophet in himself is a sign.
Amen.
Even the bride is a sign also. You having a long hair, walking on campus, that's a sign. Having a long dress and Nazarite vow, you are a sign to this generation that God is going to judge this generation. But you are a small sign. But a prophet is a larger sign of, you know, God dealing with the earth. That's why the prophet says a message and the messenger are one. Amen. Because Jonah was not only preaching, but he was living what he was going to preach. Because the book of Jonah is not just made of things that he said. It also talks about things that he did. And the actions that he took. And whatever he did is part of the word. So Jonah's life is also the word of God. Because a prophet's life is also the word of God. I know that's too hard for you, but that's the Bible. That's the Bible. You say, Brother Aaron, don't tell me that. Just give me the Bible. Okay, let's go to the Bible. What is the Bible? What is the book of Esther? You don't find the word Jehovah in the book of Esther. You don't find the word the Lord or, you know, Elohim in the book of Esther. But it's the Bible.
Amen.
So the life of Esther, was it the life of Esther or was it the life of God?
Amen.
The Bible talks about Joseph. Was it the life of Joseph? Or was it the life of Christ? If it was just the life of Joseph, then it should not be in the Bible. But because it's in the Bible, it's the word of God. Because Joseph's life was the life of God, that's why it became part of the Bible. So if the Bible would be written today, if you are a true believer, your life would be in that Bible. Because the life that you have is no longer your life, but it's the life of God. It becomes the life of Jesus Christ. And we are part of the Bible. That's why the book of Acts does not have an amen. Because it continues to be written up to this day. So when we talk about Martin Luther, when we talk about Wesley, we are not talking about the story of a man. It's different from somebody trying to write a best-selling New York Times or a memoir or, you know, what do you call it, biography or autograph, whatever they call it. It's different. It's a book of life. That's why Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Because what he's saying is that Christ himself, he is the very life of us. And the prophet calls that scripture in the church ages. That the bride, she is him. Now, so it's in the prophet, but it does not stop with the prophet. It also flows to the bride. But you have to understand first that God deals with a generation through a prophet. And the prophet is a sign. So Jonah, reading as a carnal man, you may think he made a mistake, he disobeyed God by going to Tarshish. But you know what? What he was doing, he was declaring the word of the Lord.
Amen.
When Moses married a colored girl from Ethiopia, I wouldn't blame him, but you see, people thought he was making a mistake.
Yeah.
Why would you marry a colored girl? He was even contradicting his own Bible that he had wrote to the people. And people would criticize Moses, you're a hypocrite. You are telling us we should marry from the Jews. But here you are, you take a girl from Ethiopia and you bring her in the camp, right? But you know what? The prophet says he was a type of Christ because he married a Gentile bride.
Right.
Now, that is not to say that we should go around and just, you know. No, a prophet is a sign. Amen. Hallelujah. When Rahab was living her life, when we read the Bible today, we say, oh, that was a beautiful type. But guess what? She wasn't thinking that when she was going through what she was going through. When she was sold in prostitution, she was wondering, Lord, why am I like this? Why do I have to go through this? But in hindsight, when we read about that, we say, oh, what a beautiful story. When people, if the Bible would be written about your life, people would say, what a beautiful story. But tonight you are wondering, how am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to pay for the gas? How am I going to get my teenage through school? and keeping in the Lord. You are wondering. But if somebody would read your life in hindsight, they'll say, wow, what a beautiful Christian story. You see, we don't know what is happening, but you know what? By and by, we shall all understand it better. By and by, we shall know why things happen this way. We shall know why things are to go this way. But just hold on, my brother. God knows where he's taking you to. Because the bride shall judge the earth. The bride shall judge the earth. We have to have people who judge the plumbers. But you have to be a good plumber to judge a bad plumber. We have to have accountants to judge the bad CPAs. Yeah.
That's right.
We gotta have good pastors to be able to judge bad pastors.
Right.
So God has a position reserved for you in glory.
Right.
And your life has to match the reward.
Right. Amen.
Think about it. If you sign for a job and they say, all right, we're gonna pay you $100,000 a year. The job, the responsibility that they give you, they make sure that it's commensurate
right.
with what they're going to pay you.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
So whatever God gives you on this earth, it has to be commensurate with the reward that he has reserved for you. So if you say, this is too much for me, you don't know the glory that God has reserved for you. And we will not have the same glory. We will not have the same glory. We will be different one from the other.
Amen.
We are all stars, but we have different glory.
Amen.
That's why the prophet, one time he was walking in the office of Oral Roberts and he was discouraged. Sometimes we get discouraged.
Amen.
And said, Lord, I know you couldn't trust me with these things. But I'm so thankful that you found a man that you could trust. And God said, hey, buddy, look up. Look up. I am your portion. There is a great reward for you waiting for you.
Amen.
But you know what? He was almost gone. Like David said, my feet were almost gone. When I thought about when I saw the evil, how you have blessed them, how you have they have spread. But one day I was in the temple, and the Lord showed me their end. When God gives you, when he lifts you up and he gives you this perspective, then you are able to see that, hey, there's not coincidence. God knows what he's doing with your life.
Amen.
And never compare yourself with the next person. Because you know what? You have different places reserved in glory. If you would exchange your situation with your neighbor, you would come back after 10 minutes and say, I think I was good with, with what I had. Amen. Hallelujah.
Good.
It's like when I was in Africa, you know, I was thinking, you know what, if I go to the United States, I'll have a good life, I'll have a good paying job and all these things. I was very excited, which is good. I'm still excited. It's a good country.
Amen.
But when I came here, I also found other problems. Like a man trying to be women and women trying to be men. And I was being faced with a different kind of problem. And somebody may argue, you know what? Was I happy when I didn't have much, but I was living in a normal society? You see, so what it tells you is that there is no place that we can call our home here on earth. Our home is there in glory. Because some are dealing with a hurricane. Some are dealing with, we are all dealing with something. But you know what? These are all birth pains. Because one of these days we're going to leave out of this earth and meet our King. But some people, they think if this man gets voted in, things will change. Nothing will change. It'll get worse and worse and worse. And the prophet says, even if we put Abraham Lincoln in every county, you can never save someone who rejects the word. When a nation rejects a prophet or the Bible, the Bible principles, there is no politician that can save that nation. If we take Bibles out of school, we take Bibles out of people, and we think someone will come and save us. That's a lie. Amen. So Jonah was a sign. Isaiah the prophet was a sign. The Bible says in Isaiah 20 verse 2, and the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amos, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, and put off thy clothes, and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked, barefoot. You see how God works? Now, if this would happen in our time, what would people think? They thought Isaiah was insane. That's why most prophets were persecuted and killed. Because they were considered heretics. How would someone say, the Lord told me to take off my clothes and walk naked without shoes? Because it was not enough for God to just send Isaiah to give a word. Isaiah had to leave the symbol of it. Because as a prophet, he is a representation of God. So God would say, I want you to cook bread. But I want you to use poop to make that bread. Amen. That's in the Bible. Because the Bible is the Bible. And the Bible does not care about our feelings or political correctness. God is God. And God is sovereign. He does what he wants. Because if God is subject to ourselves, then he's no longer God. If God is subject to our thoughts and our standard, then he ceases to be God. God has to be higher than our thoughts and our standards for him to remain God. And God has to be sovereign in order for him to stay as God. If then he's subject to what we want, he's no longer God. But for you to be a king, you have to be sovereign. So the prophet says he is an infinite sovereign.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
So Isaiah was a sign, and he was walking barefoot and walking without shoes as a sign. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah has walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign, and a wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners. And the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. Isaiah was the sign. And the people were supposed to see Isaiah and read the sign. One time the prophet was in the west coast, and the Lord said to him, pick up a stone and throw it. Says, thus says the Lord, judgment is striking Alaska. But being a prophet, he had to do the demo. He had to take the stone and throw it. That's how God works. So when you see, so you say, Brother Aaron, why are you talking about this? Because I don't want us to miss what God has done for us in our day. Or just to think that, you know, a prophet is just like any other regular minister out there. Or maybe we're trying to glorify a man. No, we glorify Jesus. But you know what? Jesus Christ came to John. And he gave him the revelation. And John says, the revelation that God gave me, which was signified by an angel.
Amen.
So the revelation could only be signified by an angel.
Amen.
He did not just receive it from thin air. It was an angel that signified it to John. And today, there is an angel, and the word angel there means a messenger, an earthly messenger who comes and signifies the revelation to the church.
Amen.
That's why the denominations are going in darkness, because they don't have the lamp.
That's right.
They don't have the light.
Nope.
Right.
Because a messenger is a light to the age.
Amen.
Now, the Bible says, and Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. Now, I'm reading a lot of scripture so that, you know, we have got young people coming up. They want to know why we are saying certain things.
Right.
They think having a prophet like Brother Branham is just a new phenomenon. No. We have always had prophets, and God has always dealt with the people through the prophets. And these signs, they were always there. So like this man here, he tore the garment of Elijah, right? And he says, I'm going to give you 10 pieces, which was representing the 10 tribes of Israel. And he said, I'm going to give the two other pieces to Solomon, right? That's when the kingdom was divided. It was God who did it for his own glory. But the sign was the garment that was torn by the prophet. Amen. Hallelujah. Hosea. I'm gonna turn a corner from these signs, but just maybe one more. The Bible says, in the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said unto Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. For God is telling Hosea the prophet, go and marry
someone from the brothel.
Right.
An ill-famed woman.
Yep.
And he was a prophet. Now, if this would happen in our time, what would people think? They would go on social media and say, we have got a man who is losing his mind.
Right.
You know? God says, thus says the Lord, go and marry a prostitute. Forget about all the virgins in Israel. Find a prostitute, marry her, and have children. And Hosea would go sometimes and have to take her wife from the brothers, because she would go back to the beer house. And he would go and say, honey, come back home. Because he was a sign. Because that's what God was doing to Israel. He would go to Israel, they come back. And then after a while, they go back to idolatry. And that's what Hosea was doing. Because Hosea was supposed to show the sign.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen. John chapter 13, verse 1. Let's read it together. The Bible says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour has come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I love the love of Jesus. It's unto the end.
Amen.
Amen. I skip to verse 5. And after he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?
Yeah.
He said, Peter was always on the extreme. Right? At one point he says, don't wash my feet. And God, then Jesus Christ said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. Then he goes to the other extreme and says, wash my whole body. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter.
Amen.
So Jesus Christ said, I'm going to show you an example. But the way I'm going to do it, I'm going to demonstrate it to you. Mm-hmm. Because remember, the Bible says, in him was light, and the light was the life of man. So the word can only bring forth light if it is manifested.
Amen.
But the prophet says the first light was the spoken word.
Amen.
But the light had to be manifested for us to know that this is the spoken word. So Jesus was not just a logos out there, but he became flesh. When he became flesh, he was the light that was manifested.
Right.
So the life that we live is the manifestation of the light.
Amen.
It's not enough just to have spoken words and tapes and just put them on a shelf. We have to manifest the life of that word if we are to able to touch our children and touch our neighbors. If we don't display the life, we are wasting our time. You can call it to them. You can play it to them. You can repeat it. But you have to live it and show it to them. Because life without being manifested, it cannot be seen by people. So Jesus, wanting to demonstrate how the disciples ought to treat one another, he had actually to perform a demonstration of the life. And he washed his disciples' dirty feet. He did not just call it to them. He displayed it. And he showed them. And the disciples, they learned more from what he lived more than what he said.
Amen.
That's why when they saw that he was a prayer man of prayer, they became so thirsty. And they said, Master, teach us to pray. Because they had seen that he was a man of prayer. Because the prophet says the only way you can win the world is if you become salty.
Right.
And when you become salty, people become thirsty.
Yes.
When people become thirsty, they ask for the water. But you want to give water to people who are not thirsty. And they cannot be thirsty unless you are salty.
Amen.
So when you live the life, it makes people feel thirsty.
Amen.
If you want your children to come to church with you, you have to live the life before them. If you want your wife to call you master, you have to live the life before her. You can't be pointing a finger and say, hey, don't you know Abraham called his, Sarah called his Lord, his master, his husband, Lord.
Right.
It was the life that Abraham displayed.
Yeah. Right.
That Sarah said, my Lord.
Yeah.
Not Lord Adonai, like God.
Right.
Lord as in interpreted as master, because he displayed a life.
Amen.
Amen. And the song we used to sing, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto myself. The world is hungry to see a living Christ. Everyone can call it. Everyone can throw it on WhatsApp and social media. Everyone can forward a cot. But people are looking for a displayed life. The children of Israel, they could hold a lamb for 3 days. But Moses said, at the evening time, after 3 days of walking with your lamb, packing your lamb, you must slay that lamb and apply the blood.
Amen.
And when you apply the blood, then you overcome death.
That's right.
Amen.
But if it's not enough to just hold the lamb and walk with the lamb and hold the tape, you must slay the tape and apply it in your life.
Amen.
That's how you do, that's how you overcome death, when you apply the token.
Amen.
You can have a whole steak on the shelf. It's not going to help you. You've got to take that word and apply it in your life. And can I tell you something? It was not Moses who applied the blood. Moses was only responsible for declaring the word. It was the responsibility of each father of the house to apply the token in their own house. Your pastor is not going to come and tell you what to watch, what not to watch, what to do, what not to do in your own house. That's your own responsibility. And you are going to give an account of the atmosphere that you create in your own house.
Amen.
And some of the problems, they've got nothing to do with the ministry. Moses declared, slay the lamb. It's your job as an individual, as a mother, as a father, as a priest of the house to apply the blood. To say, honey, we can't have this in this house.
Right.
Brother Branham told Billy Pope, my son, if you choose this road, I cannot stay with you.
Right.
Because there is a certain atmosphere we have to keep in this house.
I
cannot force you to follow this way. But if you want to follow this way, you're going to have to find somewhere to live.
Yeah.
That was a man who had applied blood upon his house. But yet he still loved his son. Though he left the house, he still met him. He still loved him. He still prayed for him. He did not just give up on him. He applied the blood even when he was away. He said, Lord, help my boy. Lord, help my boy. But today we want the minister to do all the religion for us. As long as I listen to a tape, you have to apply the tape. Don't just listen to it. Apply the tape. The Bible says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Because everyone has ears. But when the Bible says, he that has an ear, it means he that can apply because he understands what is being said. And the Bible says, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand, because understanding, when you have a revelation, it changes your life. If your life is not changed, it's not a revelation. It's just knowledge.
Amen.
Like you can ask anyone on the streets, who is Jesus? They'll tell you Jesus Christ is the King. But not everyone is saved, because they know it from here, but it's not there. But when you know it by revelation, and you know it by life, then it changes your conduct. It changes your speech. It changes the way you treat one another. It changes the way you meditate. It changes your whole makeup.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus demonstrated life to his disciples. And he says, you call me master and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. And if I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example.
Amen.
He did not just give them a coat.
Nope.
He showed them an example.
Amen. Right.
And sometimes why children get confused is because they don't have an example at home.
Right.
Mom is saying this, but she's doing this.
Right. Yeah.
Dad is saying this, but she's acting this. The pulpit is going this way. The father is going this way. The mother is going this way. And the child is confused.
Right.
But when there is harmony,
amen,
under headship, when there is harmony, when the spirit and the bride say the same thing,
right.
When the father and the mother, they say the same thing,
right.
Not when the child knows, well, dad may allow me to
to my dad may not allow me to do this, but mom will allow me, or vice versa. Yeah. Then you have a problem.
Right,
you don't have to be the same. A mom has to be a mom, a dad has to be a dad. But the doctrine should have harmony.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended it
Amen.
Not. Now the prophet says, now we find that his royal seed, it travels the same journey that Abraham did, right? And the last sign that Abraham seen before the promised son came was when God was manifested in a human body.
Amen.
And two angels came down.
Uh-huh.
So the prophet says, the life of Abraham is exactly the life of the bride. The journey of Abraham is the journey of the bride.
Amen.
And he says the last sign that Abraham saw before the promised son came was God manifested in the flesh. But remember, we're talking about prophets being signs, right? Now, the prophet is showing you that we as the Gentiles, this is our last sign. So the coming of the prophet is a last sign unto Abraham. Is the last sign unto the Gentiles.
Yep.
That God was manifested in a man. Not that the man was God. No, but the man was revealing God.
Right.
It's a very fine line.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
Not to say we worship a man. No, we don't.
Right.
But God used the man. Just like God would use Isaiah. Amen. God would use Moses.
Amen.
But here is a last sign, because God was not going to come in the body of flesh. The only time we're going to meet him is we'll meet him in the air.
Amen. Right.
When he comes in the rapture.
Right.
But before that, he comes veiled in banger skins.
Amen.
Sometimes he comes behind your pastor when he's ministering.
Right.
But we know that in a greater measure, he came through the skin of a prophet. And that prophet was the last sign that the Gentile world is gonna see.
Amen.
There is no other sign that is gonna come.
No.
There is no other great man that is gonna come out of somewhere and start revealing great. The prophet finished the mystery.
Right.
We are preaching not closed mysteries, but we are preaching revealed word.
Amen.
Because the prophet revealed the word.
Amen.
Now, when we say the prophet revealed the word, it doesn't mean that he came to answer every question that we have. He came to give us what we need for the rapture. The message is not there to answer every Bible question that ever existed. That's a misconception. The message came to answer the questions that you have for the rapture. God gives you what is sufficient for your journey. If you want to drive to North Carolina and you need 30 gallons of gas, God will give you that.
Right. Amen.
Because he is Jehovah Jireh. He knows what is sufficient
right.
for you.
Amen. Right.
So God will meet you based on your needs.
Yeah.
So if there is something that you need for the rapture, God has provided it in the message.
Amen.
But the message is not AI or like a Wikipedia,
yeah.
where if you just think of a random question, it's gonna answer you. No. God will just give you enough faith for the next step.
Yeah, right.
Amen. That's right.
Abraham was given faith for his journey. Joseph was given enough faith for his journey.
Right.
Daniel was given enough faith for his journey. We have the faith laying in the books to take us in the rapture.
Amen.
Those books did not come so that we can answer every theologian on the internet.
Right.
No, sir. That's not what it was sent for. This is the children's bread. It was given to feed the flock.
Yeah.
It was given
Amen.
To feed the children.
Amen.
So if you are sheep, then God is giving you bread.
Amen.
It's not to feed the whole world.
Right.
It's to feed his children.
Amen.
Right. Amen. And he says, it was in the days of Sodom that God came down and was manifested in human flesh and told what Sarah was thinking back in her heart in the tent behind him. The last sign before the Gentile world was destroyed by fire. It's not some great politician coming on the scene, no. The prophet is a sign. Revelations 1:1, I think we spoke about this. Now, I want you now to put your antennas up. Buckle up. Amen. Because I'm wearing this, so I feel like a pilot. We're going to get into some turbulence now. Now, the prophet says, now, as soon as this church, the bride, is drawn together, she is taken up. And that mystery of the seventh seal, or the seventh seal, the mystery of going, right? He's saying the mystery of going. He says sometimes he calls it the mystery of the coming of the Lord.
Right.
So when he says going, it's us going. Sometimes he says the mystery of his coming is him coming, but it's the same thing.
Right.
And the Jews is called by the mystery of the seventh trumpet, which is two prophets, Elijah and Moses. And they come back. And there is where the Pentecostal is all mixed up. They are looking for something to happen. The church is done gone. This, I like the Southern English. At least now you people can understand. When if I'm in Africa, I have to explain what this means. The church is done gone.
Yeah.
I done met the Lord.
Come on,
now, he says in Revelation 11, call their ministry will be the ministry of Moses and Elijah, calling to Israel out of the Jewish traditions. So the seventh trumpet is prophets calling people out of Jewish traditions.
Right.
I want you to understand that. Very important.
Right.
Just as the seventh angel's message called the bride out of the Pentecostal tradition. So the seventh trumpet is a parallel of the seventh seal.
Amen.
You have a prophet here, one prophet, but here you have two prophets.
Right.
So the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. Because remember in Thessalonians it says, the Lord himself shall descend. Personal pronoun. The Lord himself shall descend. In a voice, in a shout, in a trumpet. And the prophet says he does those three things as he's descending. But it's not in our kind of way of thinking that is you're going to see Jesus of Nazareth coming down with Galilee slippers. And no. He is being revealed by the ministry of the prophet.
Amen.
Right. It's the same thing when Christ reveals himself to the Jews. He's not going to show up and just say, hey, this is me. No. It's going to be revealed through the ministry of Moses and Elijah.
Amen.
And the reason why you've got millions and millions and millions of Jews and only 144,000 believe it and receive the Holy Ghost, it's because it will be so unusual for the rest of them.
Right.
They are waiting for the Messiah.
Yes,
they are bombing everywhere. They want to build a temple because they think the Messiah is going to come in the temple and show up. And everyone is going to say, wow, there's the Messiah.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Right.
It's going to be a ministry of two prophets.
Right.
And those that accept that ministry are sealed and they are the 144,000.
Right.
It's the same thing again in our time as Gentiles. When people think about the coming of the Lord, the seventh seal, yes, we shall see him face to face in the sky, eventually, him, our Lord Jesus Christ. But before we can go there, we have to have a revelation and see him in the form of the Holy Ghost through the spoken word of Malachi 4. So if you understand the seventh, the trumpets, you understand the seals. If you understand Moses and Elijah, you understand our prophets. And says, remember, Moses and Elijah is to call Israel out of the old atonement of the lamb and sheep and blood and goats and sacrifice to the real living sacrifice to the word.
Amen.
So these people, they're sacrificing. They still believe in the old sacrifice. So when Christ brings them to the atonement, when the true prophets, it's not like he's taking them somewhere physical and show them.
Right.
No. He's simply explaining to them, the prophets, that the cross of Calvary was their atonement.
Right. Right.
That's why the feast is called the Feast of Mourning.
Right. Amen.
Right? Let's put it on the screen. Amen. I've got about 10 minutes left, but that's okay. So the Bible is based on the harvest, right?
Right.
All the Jewish feasts, they were based on the harvest.
Right.
Passover and unleavened bread. There was some form of harvest happening. So you have the spring feast and the fall feasts, right? These four feasts, that's when they harvest the grapes and pomegranates and olives. And we don't have time to get into that.
Right.
But the spring is when they harvest the grains, the barley and the wheat and the different ones.
Yep.
And the barley was the first to ripen, right?
Right.
And that's why you had the sheaf wave and everything. Because you could not do a feast without some harvest.
That's right.
Because these things, they represent the harvest of believers. That's why we talk about perfection. Because perfection is maturity. Because you can't be harvested unless you are mature.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
So first fruits or unleavened bread or Passover. That's why the Passover had to coincide with the ripening of the barley. That's why the seventh plague, when God sent hail upon Egypt, he says everything was destroyed. But the barley, right, was in the ear. It wasn't destroyed. Because it was getting to about harvest. Was soon after Passover, you have unleavened bread. And you have the sheaf wave. For you to have a sheaf wave, you need to have the bread. You need to have the sheaf to wave before the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And of course, the four, you harvest your grapes and your wine. And some of it represents judgment, right? The wine presents different ones.
Amen.
And some of it represents, you know, different things. But we don't have time. Now, this feast, we don't have time to go through them. But the Feast of Atonement, it's not a killing. Because Christ dies once. So Christ dies at the Passover, at the cross. Right? But the Jews, they are called by the trumpets so that they can receive the atonement. When they receive the atonement, they enter into the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the millennium. So when they are, when that atonement is not the killing of a lamb. It's a ministry that makes you realize, hey, your Passover happened back 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
So Christ revealing himself to Israel is a ministry of the prophets.
Amen.
When the prophets are preaching, they are preaching the atonement.
Amen.
So the message of the hour, that's where you find your atonement.
Amen.
When you go out of your denomination and you realize, oh, by the way, this is the true atonement. This is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how you receive your atonement.
Amen.
It's not like the carnal denominational way of thinking. But, oh, brother, things are happening in Israel. They're buying the heifers. Oh, but something great is happening. No. They will understand the true atonement.
Right. Yeah.
And the Bible says that they will cry.
Yes, they will.
They will cry.
Yep.
Because why?
Right.
They realize, oh, it was Joseph that we sold.
Right.
Because Joseph had to dismiss.
Mm-hmm.
He had to dismiss the bride.
Mm-hmm.
So that he could reveal his himself to the brothers.
Right.
How did he reveal himself to the brothers? He showed them the sign of circumcision.
Yep. Yep.
And he could not do it in front of his bride.
Right.
He had to dismiss his bride and show his brothers, I am a Jew. This is my sign of circumcision.
Amen.
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto see the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man. Now, why did God choose a virgin that was espoused?
Mm-hmm.
Not only espoused,
think about it.
It was espoused to a man who was a widower.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
And this little girl comes up and says, I'm pregnant. Actually, it was an angel that met me and got me pregnant.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
By the way, you are in courtship. Yeah. Who is your boyfriend? Well, it's a man who is 40 years old. You know, his wife died.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you're saying you are pregnant by an angel. Yeah. If you are not elect, you are not going to believe that.
Right.
Why did God choose such a complicated process? Why didn't he just find a virgin who was not espoused? Virgins, they were there fasting and praying.
Yeah.
Some of them children of Levites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why didn't you choose that? Why did God do something that would raise questions? Why wasn't the prophet there when the cloud appeared? Why was he in Texas?
Oh, come on, man.
God does it to confound the wise.
Amen.
It was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
Amen.
Right now, it's easy for you to say, ah, of course, the angel came to Mary. But think about it if you were living in his time.
That's right.
And a 16-year-old girl who just found a boyfriend who is 40 years, whose wife had died, say, I'm pregnant, an angel met me, and now I'm pregnant. No precedence in the Bible whatsoever, except one scripture. And that one scripture is enough.
That's right.
Amen. And the Bible says, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the what?
This is why, don't be too smart for the message. Mm-hmm. It will go on top of you.
Yeah.
Remain simple. Remain humble. Then God can reveal it to
Amen.
You. Amen. Now, God, he chose Moses, a man who could not speak.
Yep.
And he says, you are the mouthpiece. Mm-hmm. You take a man who cannot speak, and you say, you are the mouthpiece. Mm-hmm. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh my God, I am not eloquent. Neither therefore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made
Amen.
Man's mouth?
Right.
Or who maketh the dumb or the blind? You know what? Moses kept arguing with the Lord until the Bible says, and God was wroth with Moses.
Right,
and one time God wanted to kill Moses.
Yeah.
I think twice. One that time and when he didn't circumcise his children. Because you know what? Moses thought he could correct God. You cannot correct God. Sometimes people think they can correct God and his choices. God's choice is perfect.
Amen.
You look at the baboon. It's beautiful. Perfect. That's the way God made it.
Yep.
You look at the gator. That's the way God made it. Everything God made it, he said, this is perfect.
Amen.
Peter tried to do it. Each time he tried to correct the word,
yep.
he found himself on the wrong side.
Amen.
When the Lord would say, I'm going to be arrested,
mm-hmm.
and the Son of Man is going to be killed. And Peter says, oh, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And God, Jesus Christ said, get behind me, Satan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because he was trying to correct the word.
Right.
And the Lord said, all of you are going to leave me and forsake me. And I'm going to be alone. And Peter thought he was smarter
yeah.
than the word. Says, oh no, I'm not going to leave you. I'll even go with you to jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Lord looked at him and said, you, especially you.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
The cock is not going to crow 3 times until you, mm-hmm. you deny me.
Right.
Why? Because he was trying to be more holier than the word.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on,
right. He was trying to be more righteous than the word.
Right.
Stay with the word.
Amen.
Don't add, don't subtract. Keep it the way it is.
Amen.
In the Bible, they used to make cakes that were called meal offerings. If God said, put 5 tablespoons of olive oil, you'll put 5 tablespoons of olive oil.
Amen.
If you put 10, then God is going to accept it.
Nope.
And Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us.
Amen.
God chose earthen vessels. He did not choose titanium vessels.
No, right.
He did not choose golden.
No.
Well, we have some golden vessels as a type, but he chose earthen. That's dirt, right? That's the Bible word for
Amen.
Dirt.
Right.
When I was in Africa, I didn't understand why the prophet would say, you are 6 feet of dirt. Because we use the word sand or soil, or we don't use dirt. Because
right.
for us, dirt is... But when I came here, I understood that's... You know, the sand is what we call dirt.
Yeah, right.
So the Bible here says the treasures is in earthen vessels, right? It's like in clay vessels.
Right, right.
So God would take the most precious things and put them in vessels.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something as I close. Amen. The Bible, this what we call the Holy Canon, these books, they were not always printed like this. They were written in parchments and in scrolls. And they were lost. And you know how they were found?
Yep.
Some were discovered dead under the Dead Sea, right? But some of them were found in caves. They were found in clay pots.
Right.
So God was a genius to know that you can keep something inside clay and it can last for hundreds of years. But when God did it, people thought, well, it's just clay. But guess what? That's where God wanted to
right.
keep his word.
Amen.
And God has put his word in these clay vessels.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we might be weak.
Amen.
We might be brittle. We might have our bad days.
Yep.
We might have our moments of temper. But you know what? God decided to put his word
Amen.
Behind dangerous skins.
Amen.
When God told Noah to build an ark, he says, go and find gopher wood. And gopher wood is one of the weakest woods you can find.
Right.
It's very porous. And Noah did not ask God, why are you making such a poor engineering decision?
Yeah.
He just obeyed God.
Amen.
And you and I are gopher wood.
Amen.
But if you then pitch that gopher wood with pitch,
right,
it becomes as hard as a rock.
Amen.
Without
Amen.
The pitch of the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
You are just vulnerable and porous.
Right.
But it's when the Holy Ghost comes and fills those holes that you have, then you become
Amen.
As hard as a rock.
Amen.
And then nothing can move you.
Amen.
Then you can sing that song, Jesus is my Savior.
Yep.
I shall not be moved.
Amen.
I shall not be moved.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Do you love him tonight?
Amen.
If the musicians can come. God gave us a prophet.
Amen.
And the prophet was the last sign. And we, being Gentiles, we are also the last sign
yes.
unto this generation.
And
the prophet did not understand his life. And he didn't understand what was happening to him. And one time God said, and then he went to the cave to pray, and he met the angel. And the angel told him, your peculiar birth and your misunderstood life was to take a gift. So his life was connected to his gift. His birth, his life was connected to his gift. So it was not just only applicable to the prophet. It was is also applicable to you. There are things that you may not understand. There are things that you happen to you and you say, why did this happen? You know what? God had a purpose for that.
Yes.
God had a gift that he wanted to manifest in these last days. That gift is in you.
Right.
It may not be preaching. It could be singing. Maybe that's what gave you the inspiration to sing the way you sing. It could be being a good mother. It could be what you went through and you say, you know what? Because of what I went through, I want to be a good mother to my children. God knew exactly what he was doing.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand upon our feet. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Is that the key, brothers? Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Can't you see why I'm so happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord. Spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. Can't you see why I'm so happy? I've accepted
shine all around us, thy day. Matches. Let's give our brother a good hand. Brother Aaron, I know some of you weren't here this Sunday, but the offering that we took up was $2,100, and he's part of that Vision Books. He goes to Brother Barry Coffey's church, and actually, you're looking for books for going to Zimbabwe, right? He sent me a link today. And a report of his last visit. That's right. So anyway, whatever money you gave, it's going straight to the Vision Books so that they can get them in the hands of the people in other countries. And we sure do appreciate Brother Aaron. He's from Zimbabwe, and oh, he's from America now, but he's from Zimbabwe, and we sure do appreciate the work that they do.
Amen.
And we sure appreciate your offering that you gave. If you weren't here Sunday, just wait till next first Sunday, and we'll every first Sunday of the month, as long as the Lord allows to, the whole offering will go to Vision Works. So it'll go to the Vision Books, and in Hickory, North Carolina. So, and we appreciate the money that y'all gave to for the relief fund. We sent them some too up at Bible Tabernacle there in Hickory, and then we sent some to Brother Donnie Reagan. So I sure do appreciate you opening up your heart and your pocketbook to fund some of these things and whatever's happening in Florida now, they're going to need some help too. I think Brother Danny Steeman told Sister June. I think Michelle said they're going to stay in the church and ride it out with the, because there's some elderly people that can't leave. So they're there in the middle of that thing right now. So we just been praying all day that thing would just dissipate. Yeah. It has got slower. I mean, it has got less than it was before. It's almost down to a Category 2 now, is what I heard before we walked in the door. And it was a Category 5 at one time, and it would have just destroyed everything. So let's just remember the believers there that are there at the in Sarasota, Brother Danny Steeman, he's right there in the midst of it with them, and Sister Michelle's with them too. So let's just remember them in prayer. You love the Lord?
Amen.
We love what He's doing.
Amen.
He's sharpening our sword. He's taking brothers like Brother Aaron here, and he's enlightening us to what we already know in the Bible, but it's got to come through a ministry for us to get it and receive it and then what? Put it inside.
Right.
Put the word in earthen vessels. Amen. You know what? Somebody found those pots.
That's right.
That's right.
And the word was already in it.
Amen.
I pray God to find your pot.
Amen.
And the word already be in it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Find your earthen vessel with the pot with the word already in it.
Amen.
Somebody put the word inside those pots.
Amen.
And sealed them up. So I pray, God, that He puts them inside of us and seals us up.
Amen.
So let's remember Brother Aaron as he heads back. He does some work here around, and I told him, I said, if he ever comes to close to Lula, he's got an open invitation to come and minister for us. And I do. I have a church to go to now when they kick me out. So praise the Lord anyhow. But Brother Aaron's been watching in for a little while, so he's seen this part of the church. Now he sees that part of the church. So he sees this part online. And now he's a part of that.
Amen.
So we sure do appreciate his ministry. Appreciate his fervor for the Word of God.
Amen.
A young man like that with two young children, a fervor for the Word of God. You don't see that much because the devil puts you off on each side and gives you something else to do. But thank God he gave our brother the wisdom to preach the Word of God like he did. And we should appreciate that tonight. That was very timely, very good. And we sure do appreciate the word of the Lord. So all minds clear. We've got regular service Sunday. And then we'll have, I don't know when the next person's coming, but somebody will be here later on in the month. And then later on in November, November the 17th. Go ahead and put it down. We're almost in November. November the 17th, we'll have our Thanksgiving dinner here at the church after the first service. And you bring the dish, and the church will provide the meat, just like we've always done. So y'all do your dishes, and squash casserole, and squash casserole, and squash casserole. And then make the best squash casserole in the world.
So, my wife does.
Your wife does? Well, let's prove it. Bring it here. I'm the judge. We'll see. That's competition right there. It's good. Well, that's good that your wife can do that. I'm glad she can cook. It looks like she cooks pretty good. Praise the Lord anyhow. But we'll do that November the 17th. We'll have our Thanksgiving dinner November 17th. And like I said, we'll have a good time in the Lord. And we sure appreciate all of you. Thank you for coming. God bless you. I saw Olivia back there, but she done checked out. Okay. She was back there in the back, so we sure do appreciate Sister Olivia coming in and being with us. Olivia Canada, just good to see her back there. So all minds clear. We love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Then you got to love his people. So let's bow our heads. Right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the word that we've heard. Lord, it rings true in all of our hearts that, Lord, it was your doing. As the prophet said, he bred this one to this one and this one to this one just to get you here. Just to get us here so that you can place that word in the earthen vessel. And Lord, we just praise you for bringing our brother by, Lord, and us getting to know him, Father. And we pray that you'd be with him now on his journey, be with him in his work and his family. Lord, in the church up there, Lord, to help it prosper. We appreciate, Lord, you sending him, and we thank you, Lord, for speaking through him, Father, and giving us the words of eternal life. Father, I pray that you'd be with us now as we all continue this journey, and as we drive home, Lord, maybe we'll be thinking about how that you are the light of the world, but you chose to be that light through the Gentile bride. Father, forgive us of our mistakes. Be with us. Be with those, Lord, in the hurricane, Father, that you'll soften that thing, Lord, that there won't be any bride, Lord, that'll be harmed, Father, and also humanity, Lord. May they use wisdom in leaving and doing the things, Lord, that they should do to preserve life. Father, we know one thing's for sure, that when we leave this earth, all hell's going to break loose. This is just a precursor of what's coming. But Lord, we know that we're hiding now in the eagle's wings. We don't have to hide behind something that'll hold up to a Category 5 hurricane. All we need to do is get under your wings, Father.
Amen.
We ask you to just bless this day. Give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Just like a tree.